You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com.
406 in once again, out this time in northwestern Montana. Who doesn't like the Kalispell area, right? I was talking to Dana with Mountain Health Co-op today, and she said, did you guys have fun last night? And I said, yeah, we did. And he goes, who doesn't have fun in Kalispell, Montana? Yeah, welcome. It's the Tow Rope Tour. We are live at Glacier Bank alongside here at Voices of Montana. It's from Montana, for Montana, two decades strong, working on three. And we've got a lot of folks to thank here. There's a lot of folks to honor as Tow Rope heroes. And let's start off. Let's just get going with the show. Tanya Horn, Executive Director of Flathead Warming Center. Thank you for being here. How are you doing today?
Great. Thank you for having me.
All right. You're going to have fun. You can have fun in this town, do you?
Oh, we have fun.
I know you do. And I want to start off. Not everybody does. Some people struggle. And that's why you started this.
Very, very true. Yeah. Absolutely. We have people out. It's unbelievable, but we have people that sleep out in the snow in the wintertime. People can be very, very resilient when you have to be. And why we started Flathead Warming Center. We want to bring people inside to warmth and safety and structure because, you know, that's the kind of community that we are. Our motto is we take care of each other in the Flathead. And that goes right along with the Tow Rope Challenge.
This happened in a short period of time, too. That's what amazes me. Raised money, found a need, or you had a need, raised some money, and now you've got an actual warming center.
Absolutely. And you say a short amount of time, and that is a testament to community. That is a testament to the Flathead community, without a doubt. We started in 2019 saying if we're going to do this, we're going to do this right. And we started with a board of directors and built a nonprofit and learned a lot along the way. And the community came along with us with a lot of support. We are 100% community supported, and we can't thank the Flathead enough. Within the 2 years, we've been able to secure a permanent location.
That's incredible.
It is.
Really?
It really is. And because it will help a lot of people. Right now, we're in the middle of renovations to add showers and to add laundry. And to most of us, that's pretty, you know, we take a shower during the day. We have our laundry right there. But for some folks, that is just not the case. And it's very hard to get ahead and to move beyond homelessness when you can't take a shower or when you can't do your laundry. And so being able to offer those services of compassion here in our community, we're super, super excited about that.
Talk about how many people you're helping, too. I mean, that has grown.
Absolutely. We are a low-barrier shelter, so that means it's a person's behavior once they're inside that determines their stay. So a person can come in with an animal. That could be a barrier in their life in some areas. Their treasured animals, like family, can come in with an animal. Maybe life's been hectic and they don't have their ID. They can come in without an ID. You know, it's just most important that people are warm and that people are safe. And being able to do that, boy, the need, we knew it was there, but the need definitely did show up.
I want you to kind of roll over that again, because I think that's important for our audience to know what a low barrier shelter is. Just explain it from your standpoint.
We believe that everyone deserves a chance. Mm-hmm. We believe that everyone, when they understand the expectations to have shelter, that most people rise to those expectations. And it's a form of compassion. A person can come in, we explain our expectations because we have a warm and safe shelter. And then beyond that, we build a relationship with folks. Besides our expectations, I would say it was the relationship that we build with people that definitely add to a safe environment. But, you know, you asked me about the number that we served,
yeah.
And I got a little off track.
No.
But I definitely want to let you know kind of a little bit about our statistics from the 2020-2021 season. We have functioned for two seasons, and this was our last winter season. We served 207 unique individuals. That means 207 people came in and put their head down on a pillow in warmth and safety inside the warming center. And we provided 3,120 shelter stays. So it was amazing. And, you know, everyone wants to know, well, tell me about the homeless, you know.
Yeah.
Why are they homeless? Everyone has a different story. But a lot of it is wrapped up in trauma, wrapped up in circumstances beyond their control. But a big majority, I would say, struggles with mental illness or addictions or some other kind of disability. These are people who are dealing with illnesses. And we are a community that has compassion. And, you know, our statistics told us this last season that 76%, 3 out of 4 people who walked through our door struggles with mental illness or some other form of disability.
And so Tanya Horn is with us here, Executive Director of the Flathead Warming Center, Tow Rope Tour, Glacier Bank, Voices of Montana in Kalispell today. And so with that, you just kind of try to peel an opening to help people. And then also you're an important part of the stream of help as well, right?
Absolutely. You know, the relationship is the first piece. That takes down a lot of walls to be able to work with a person. And then we are so lucky here in the Flathead, we have a continuum of care of other providers that working together constantly to help move a person out of homelessness, to help address some of those issues that they're dealing with. But it all starts with the relationship. And that's why I'm excited to be with the Flathead Warming Center, because we get that. It starts with the relationship.
You are a tow rope hero. Tow rope heroes help you. Who's your tow rope hero?
Oh, my goodness. I could go on and on. I would say community, without a doubt. The community has been totally amazing to take the idea of a low barrier shelter and to just totally wrap their arms around it and to fund it and to help us to find a location, to be on the board. Our volunteers is amazing. We will have over 100 volunteers each season that come in, and they're the ones that are helping to build that relationship piece that we're talking about. So I would definitely say the heroes are our community, are the volunteers, and those that have just come around to help support to make this a success.
The story about how you decided you could do this. And listen, you guys raised $750,000. That's a large amount of money in a short period of time. But there was a contractor who you had a conversation with about how can we do it. It's interesting how it just gets going. Whatever seed it is that gets planted can grow.
You know, we started out in churches.
Yeah.
We started out in the basement of Christ Church Episcopal. And then we started last winter season in Faith Lutheran Church. And we knew that we needed a permanent location. But to be a new nonprofit, we didn't have a lot of money. And so the board got together and we sat there and we were like, how are we going to fund this? We need to be responsible with this. And are we going to take this next step? It was a big step in faith. But God put the pieces together, without a doubt.
Can we welcome in Jane Emmert?
Absolutely.
Okay. Hi, Jane. How are you?
I'm great.
Thank you for being here. You're a tow rope hero, director of Assist. That's a community of volunteers that help people get back on their feet. Is that correct?
That's right.
You're also helping with this Flathead Warming Center with Tanya.
I am. I'm on the board.
Tell us what Assist does. And if you don't mind, I mean, just go ahead, Tanya, and let's share this interview together, because these are two tow rope heroes who actually connect together. But what does Assist do?
Assist is a nonprofit that helps people who have had medical situations and they're kind of falling through the cracks. So we have a team of volunteers and a small staff, and we're connectors. We're really resource knowledgeable, and we help them know where to go. So a good example is you just got diagnosed with cancer, and you live alone, and you're overwhelmed, and you can't think. You're in pain. Your life just changed. And somebody medical refers us, and we send a staff and a volunteer, and we listen to your story and help you get cancer aid resources or rides to appointments, somehow coming alongside of you.
So you're a big believer in what Tanya's talking about here in relationship.
Absolutely.
How does that relationship help? I mean, how does it develop? And Tanya, maybe you can answer this too, into real solutions for people who are struggling with whatever it may be. Go ahead, Jane.
I guess I would say that when you go to a doctor's appointment, you have a very limited amount of time with your providers. When we come to your home, we sit down at the kitchen table with you and we listen to your story. So first of all, we give the gift of listening.
Wow.
And the doctor, for example, might say, Mr. Smith isn't taking his medications, and I'm frustrated. I don't know what to do. We listen to Mr. Smith, and we find out he doesn't have a winter coat for his daughter. He's worried his electricity is going to be shut off. If we can help solve those problems, he now trusts us. We have a relationship. He knows we care about him, and we just helped him free up money that might allow him to take care of his medication needs.
It's just like one step at a time, isn't it?
Absolutely, and listening to the person is so very important in treating a person like dignity. And that is so important for us to reach our homeless population and all populations, really. Everyone wants to be treated with dignity, and that's so very important. And when we allow people to, we treat them with dignity, and when we allow them to be a part of community, to be a part of something, that changes everything. That changes behaviors. That changes everything. And it changes everything in that person's life, too.
Jane, there are challenges in this kind of ministry or this kind of vision and mission. How do you stay encouraged? How do you encourage others? How do you stay above the challenge?
Well, we were founded by Curtis Lund, a man of faith who really believed in the ability of volunteers to make an impact in people's lives. And he believed that volunteering was not just good for the person we helped, but that it's also good for the volunteer.
Yeah.
And I like to say that our volunteers get paid in hugs. And it's, you know, people can talk about the financial value of helping a person out of homelessness or helping a person with medical issues connect to resources. But to the people we help, our services are priceless.
We have a chance here, and just a couple of minutes, but enough time. What do you need out there, Tanya? Who can be a tow rope hero to you to help you meet a need at the Flathead Warming Center?
We always need continued support from the amazing community that we have to continue to be able to provide services year after year. We need volunteers.
Because you staff it. It's 24/7, right?
No, we're a night shelter.
Night shelter.
That's
okay.
Right, but we do have two staff there at all times.
All night, okay.
And so being for safety and being able to do that takes support from the community. Volunteers, we also staff with volunteers. We have many, many great volunteer opportunities, and those are definitely, definitely heroes. And, you know, our community has a unique challenge that is coming up starting on Thursday, which is the Great Fish Community Challenge. And we're part of that. That's the first year for the Flathead Warming Center to be part of that. And that's an opportunity to people to give to this campaign to have their money multiply. Their gift to us can multiply through this campaign. So getting folks to be heroes through that challenge would be wonderful.
Cool. That's really nice. Jane, who can be a total hero for what you do, the assist?
You know, truly it's our volunteers. It's people willing to give maybe 4 hours a week to go out with a staff person and connect with the people in our community.
Is there any specific job or skill?
Good question.
Yeah.
So most of our volunteers are retirees or people who have flexible work schedules. Mm-hmm. And I need detective-minded problem solvers who have healthy boundaries.
Somebody's ears just perked up out there.
Yeah, that's right.
I am a problem solver. How can they get a hold of you?
They can go to assistflathead.org, and we have a link to volunteer or to reach out and call with questions.
All right. Assist, it's A-S-S-I-S-T. And also the Flathead Warming Center. You got a website?
We do, flatheadwarmingcenter.org.
All right. Thank you guys for what you do. Thank you for being Tow Rope Heroes. I appreciate that.
Thank you for having us.
It makes a difference. It saves. It saves lives.
It
really
does.
And
yes,
it changes lives. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. We're going to take a break, and we'll come on back. Just a reminder here from Mountain Health Co-op that coverage doesn't have to end when Medicare leaves off. Now offering affordable policies to supplement Medicare coverage. Let Mountain Health Co-op help you fill in the gaps. Discover your supplemental insurance options today. Mountain Health Co-op, honored to celebrate connections. All right, welcome back. It's From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. We are on the Tow Rope Tour here at Glacier Bank in Kalispell, Montana. Tom Schultz alongside. Just a reminder, you can go to our website. It's either Voices of Montana or do Tow Rope Tour. If you nominate a tow rope hero in your community, and again, it's just as the analogy is, In Montana, we don't leave people stranded alongside of the road. We carry a tow rope. We are willing to help. And you don't have to overthink it. You just stop and say, hi, do you need some help? And then you can start ministering from that point there. But if you do want to nominate a tow rope hero, please do. Go to our website, do that, and you'll have a chance to win this zero-turn bad boy mower. Got a nice picture of it here. It looks awesome. Everybody wants it, Taylor. Taylor saw me with us here from the Hope for Harley Foundation. We'll talk about that in a minute. But you turn around, you look at that bad boy zero-turn mower from Western Ranch Supply, and you go, I want that, don't you? I'm sorry. You're over there? Yeah.
Yeah, I want it.
You want it. I know. Yeah. Well, maybe you'll win it, okay? Thank you for being here. You're a tow rope hero for something it's hard to talk about. It must be hard to talk about. The Hope for Harley Foundation. You had a tragic loss into your lives, but you turned into opportunity for others.
Yeah. So my daughter was diagnosed with diffuse intrinsic pontine glioma, which is DIPG. It's a terminal brain tumor with a life expectancy of 6 to 9 months. And that happened in May of 2019 when she was just 5 years old, and she made it 12 months. But because of our loss, we decided to start a foundation to help others, especially in the state of Montana, going through similar battles with pediatric cancer, and to bring some life-saving treatments right here home to Montana for kids.
Life-saving treatments home to Montana.
Mm-hmm.
What are those?
So we would really like to get pediatric radiation to the state of Montana, because at this time, there's no way for kids to receive that here in the state. They have to be flown to either Colorado or Seattle. So in that moment of diagnosis, when you're faced with horrible decisions left and right, you also have to make the decision of where to go.
Yeah.
And so we would really like families to eventually be able to stay right here in Montana and receive those treatments here.
That's interesting, and that is a process, and that is probably a high-level goal that you guys have got here. I want to talk about some of those lower-level things or things that you were doing outside of that, but where is that at right now? I mean, it's a lot of communication and just maybe a little bit of pushing too, huh?
Yeah, so I've started talking to the Logan Health and about how we can go about getting that here in Montana, but then currently right now, just as a day-to-day, we're able to send financial support to families that are battling pediatric cancer right now. So far in the last year, we've been able to support 16 different families with financial support. We've raised over $100,000 just this year. And so it's just been incredible, the outpouring of support that we've received from our small community, but then also the outreach that we're able to provide across the state to different families.
$100,000 this year already.
Yeah.
What are you doing to do that? And how can people kind of help the Hope for Harley Foundation?
Yeah, so our main fundraiser is we started a candle line. My friend Lara in Hot Springs, she makes candles for us, and we named them after Harley. There's the Harley candle and then Dylan, another DIPG hero, and we sell those candles, and 100% of the profits go to supporting our causes. So it's pretty incredible. You can order the candles online.
Where can I get one of those? I'm getting one right now before we're done with the show, okay?
You can order them at Hope for Harley. .org, and Harley is spelled H-A-R-L-E-E, and we have sold, I believe, 22,000 candles so far, and it's just been an incredible experience. We also did a big raffle, and it was a $5,000 grand prize, and we sold the tickets, and we sold 30,000 tickets, and it was just incredible to see people pouring in from all over the country, but then also all over Montana to support such a local cause. It's just been amazing because Hot Springs only has 700 people in it. And so for us to be able to raise that amount of money in just a year, we've been really proud of the community and what we've been accomplishing.
And it tells you that there are no barriers for you.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Talk about it's financial support, but that translates directly into emotional support too, doesn't it?
Yeah, and we all, like, having been a mother of a child with cancer, I always like to, in our cards and when we send out money, also offer out that support. Like, if you have any questions or how we got through things, please feel free to reach out and talk to me. I'm happy to walk through the challenges that we face to help you get through the challenges that you're facing.
I don't want to. It's really hard to talk about it. I know.
Yeah.
But you've probably been doing it for a several years now, or a couple of years, and
yeah.
And so it helps. I mean, what would you tell people? What helped you, or what's your advice to them if they're going through this?
I think my advice would be to talk about it for sure. I mean, I think that talking through it, talking about the process, your emotions, everything you're going through, bringing awareness to what's going on in the world of pediatric cancer, because before I was faced with it, I knew nothing about it. I had no idea that only 4% of the national budget for cancer research goes to pediatric cancer. I had no idea that there were still cancers out there that were 100% fatal. You don't know any of those things until it's your child that is going through it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that just talking about pediatric cancer and sharing that story and your experiences and people you know makes a huge difference.
And it's a hard time. Everybody's learning as they go when they go through something like
this.
Oh,
absolutely. Yeah. I had no idea the amount of advocacy it would take to get treatments, all the different barriers that we would face, what pediatric hospice was all about. I mean, we just learned so much as we went. So, but we are just incredibly thankful for the support we received through that journey from our friends, family, and the larger community of Montana. And we're just so happy to be paying that forward.
Drop a few names. Who's your total hero?
Oh, I don't know. I have so many.
I know it's not fair. It's not fair.
Yeah,
to do that.
You just like totally put me on the spot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would say just the entire community of Hot Springs rallied around us, and then the larger Sanders County. One of the coolest things that happened, I think, during our journey was all of the volleyball teams in Sanders and Mineral County did the Hope for Harley movement, and they all wore matching warm-ups. And I thought that was incredible for high school students to step up and support a cause of a student that they had no idea who they were. But they surprised us and did that, and it was the coolest thing. So, I mean, I think that watching high schoolers step up for a cause was probably one of the most incredible things that happened during our journey.
It is. That's very heartwarming.
Yeah.
Inspirational, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah. Well, okay, it's Hope for Harley, and it's HARLEE.org.
Yeah.
For more information and to get some candles and to continue supporting this cause.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah. We'll keep in touch, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. That's Taylor Salmi, the Hope for Harley Foundation. It's, again, HopeForHarley.org. We're going to take a break with some headlines. And we'll come on back with more of the Toll Rope Tour live from Glacier Bank in Kalispell, Montana. Here's Brian Bennett with headlines. Downtown Kalispell on 2nd Street, right off of Main Street as well. Tom Schultz alongside the Toll Rope Tour. We're speaking with Dana Freedy now. She's with Mountain Health Co-op, one of our major sponsors here, and a co-op. That model for insurance being a co-op, I think, is really cool. You guys are member-owned, and that's a sort of a unique quality, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely is. It's really incredible to see, you know, our board members come in, and they make all these phenomenal decisions, and some of them, you know, carry such weight. But most of our board members are also members themselves. So they get their health insurance through the co-op. And so they're very invested in making sure that, you know, our plans, our benefits, the things we're doing for the rest of our member body is just, it's incredible to see.
What are some of those key things in ways that the co-op helps people? Maybe that's a little bit different than others out there.
Yeah. So not only are our board members who are helping to make those decisions and making sure that we're governed well, but we also have just some really great benefits that we're offering our members. We added a dental exam reimbursement here this last year. We have a vision exam reimbursement. So that means that you can, as a member, go out and you can get a dental or a vision exam. You don't have to have a specific plan for it. It's just kind of included in your overarching plan. So you can go ahead, you can do that. And what's incredible about that is that your eyes and your teeth can indicate, you know, your overall wellness.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, so we really encourage people to take advantage of those things. We also offer hundreds of medications and prescriptions at no out-of-pocket cost.
And that's really cool.
It is, and it actually includes a number of insulins. So that's really big because the cost of insulin can be so high. And we want to make sure that, you know, our members aren't doing things like rationing or, you know, so they're able to really take care of themselves and manage their conditions well.
I think that's cool, and this is why I appreciate the sponsorship of this. I think you guys, this co-op model, you're tow rope heroes yourself because you want to get out there, make people not afraid of health insurance, and just take care. Dana,
right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Dana Freedy from Mountain Health Co-op. We'll take a short break, and we'll come on back. Mandy Anderson is here from the Boys and Girls Club. So
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
You're listening to a podcast from the live Voices of Montana radio show. Be sure to check out the full podcast page at voicesofmontana.com for a full listing of all our programs. We've been covering Montana issues for more than 20 years. Thanks for listening today.
Appreciate you joining us. We are here at Glacier Bank. I'm going to give a shout out, Tammy, Devin, Jacob, Danita, Meredith. They're here, and they can help you as well. Mark Johnson has just put on a headset. You're from the branch in Columbia Falls, right?
Yeah, I'm the Columbia Falls branch manager.
Cool. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting us.
Want to remind folks, tomorrow we will be in Missoula in a couple of areas. Number one, we'll be at 9 o'clock, our statewide show. We'll be from Paradise Falls. Matt Ellis is going to be there, Missoula Paddleheads. They've done some pretty cool things this last year through the pandemic. Of course, they couldn't have baseball. A lot of changes there for the Paddleheads. So we'll talk about that. Amy Peterson's going to be by throughout the day. She's with the Ronald McDonald House, the Women for Wellness program from Eleanor Vizcarra. So we got a big lineup tomorrow as well. We're doing 2 hours, 9 o'clock at Paradise Falls, and then at 1 o'clock at Out to Lunch at Karras Park. And that'll be a lot of fun. We'll be speaking with Tom Andreas during that 1 o'clock hour with the Missoula FFA here again at Glacier Bank at the downtown branch, and they've got something going on August 2nd through the 6th. I guess we're into August already. Were you aware of that, Mandy?
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It just floors me. I'm not going to think about it. Summer is just evaporating way too fast. Celebrating our community is what they've got going on here. Look it up, Glacier Bank, August 2nd through the 6th. They're giving away prizes at every branches, and that's Missoula, Ronan and Polson and Big Fork. There's a whole list of them there. Mandy Anderson's with us here, Boys and Girls Clubs of Glacier Country. Hi, Mandy.
Hello. Thank you for having us on.
Little Savannah's here, too.
Oh, yeah. She's my sidekick for the day.
That's so awesome. She's got a bottle of water right there, kind of hanging on to that. Yeah, that's good. Get them drinking water early. Let's talk about the Boys and Girls Club.
Yes.
They play such a vital part in our communities in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. I want to have you talk about those ways, but they sometimes they fall off people's radar.
Certainly.
Did that happen here?
Yeah, that is definitely a problem that we've been facing across the Flathead Valley. It's just the awareness that we are here and that we the programs that we do provide. So research shows that the hours during after school is a lot of the times that kids will learn nefarious behaviors, and definitely we need to fill that void because idle hands can definitely create chaos. So we are here to provide services for individuals from kindergarten all the way through seniors in high school, and we are open the minute that the school bell rings all the way until 6:30. And we provide a lot of different programming. We try to hit the areas that the schools aren't able to really cover because they're really focused on the educational aspect, and we tie that into every single part of our programming, but we definitely try to give them the experiences and the exposure that they may not have otherwise. For example, we have a very successful sewing club program up in Columbia Falls, and it's absolutely phenomenal. We had a donor that donated brand new sewing machines to us and some volunteers from a local church. This group of ladies came in during school year every Wednesday, and just seeing the joy on the kids' faces, like, look what I made, a pillowcase, a hat, a little drawstring backpack, and you never know what's going to actually spark that interest. Like, when are they ever going to be exposed to a sewing program other than that? So
yeah, and they're learning a skill along the way,
exactly.
Too.
Exactly. Yeah, and they're able to actually see what they've created.
I think that's a really cool thing. Mark, why you guys nominated Mandy as a tow rope hero?
We did, absolutely. And she's a prime example of what happens in our smaller communities like Columbia Falls. Mandy and her team at the Boys and Girls Club do touch so many lives, like she said, all the way from kindergarten all the way up into high school. Sewing. I should come take that class.
I know. I'm kind of interested, too. I would do that.
Mandy, in our smaller communities like that, Glacier's the leading community bank here in the state, and we're there to do well by doing good. So we always look for better ways to strengthen our communities. Mandy's one of those. And she won't tell you, but she wears many hats. We had a chamber board meeting this morning she should have been at, but she wasn't there. But these smaller communities, we pull and grab from each other to try and get things done. So that's what's nice. I always say we do a lot in Columbia Falls because nobody's got an ego in the room and we're all trying to get something done.
Boy, that's huge, isn't it, Mandy?
Oh, yeah.
When people are just going, I'm not doing this for myself. I realize I'm doing this for somebody else. Then where do I fit in, right? How do the community members then come in and actively, as you talked about, sewing, other programs?
Yeah, we do lots of other programs. And first of all, just big shout out to Glacier Bank. They've been just an amazing supporter just over the years financially and then also with volunteers, just promoting the word of what the Boys and Girls Club does. But yeah, we heavily also rely on volunteers to come in and help expose our youth to the different skills, such as the sewing or music or, you know, any sort of physical activity type of thing. We are open to anything and everything. We just want to open the eyes of the youth. And then also it takes a village, you know, and these youth are our future and they are the blood of Columbia Falls. And we definitely want to invest in that and keep them here and give them the best future that they can have.
There are often stories about people, kids who have been helped through the Boys and Girls Club, mm-hmm. who grow up, become successful, and then just they pitch in. Mm-hmm. They're all in. Do you have some of those stories here?
You know what? This club is still fairly new and fairly growing.
Yeah.
So we don't have a ton of stories like that yet, but we're very eager to create those because our high school program is actually brand new as of a year and a half. So we were only serving up through eighth grade until about 2 years ago. So we're really looking forward to having that longevity. We actually had two seniors graduate this past year out of the program, and it was just really spectacular.
That is cool. That's you're moving forward.
Exactly.
Mark Johnson, Glacier Bank, the Columbia Falls branch. Talk about then, you know, you the people, they gather together and they pitch in. Mm-hmm. But you guys, you'd probably do a lot of things. And we'll have Don Cherry on a little bit later to talk more about some of these other things.
Yeah.
But what kind of satisfaction do your employees get by connecting either with the Boys and Girls Club or other communities?
I'm blessed to be in the position I am, and Glacier's such a great community supporter. I tell everybody, if you need something, come and talk to us. I can't say yes to everybody, but we can to a lot of people. And our team up in Columbia Falls, we've got a great team, about 21, 22. I'd have to look and see where we're at staffing-wise. Volunteer in the communities and what they're passionate about and what they want to see happen. So it's a great place to be. Columbia Falls is a great community to be in, and the bank's a great supporter of many different organizations.
How do people get involved? What kind of Toro Piro do you need right now at the Boys and Girls Club, Boys and Girls Clubs of Glacier Country?
Right now, well, as you said, it's August, so school starts at the end of the month. So that way we're definitely gearing up to transition out of our summer programming into our after-school programming. So for that, we're looking for anybody that wants to volunteer with the youth hands-on, or maybe you don't want to necessarily interact with the kids, but we definitely have areas to clean in our facility and organization to happen as we are prepping for our programming and just getting ready to launch into another amazing school year.
Do you guys have a physical structure?
Yes, we do. We have a clubhouse up in Columbia Falls, and then we will also be expanding into Evergreen this month as well. So.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. That's kind of scary.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Exciting, right?
Jumping into the deep end, but the support we've received is phenomenal. We couldn't be more excited.
So do you see the need there? Do you see an opportunity in Evergreen?
Certainly, yeah. The population in the school in Evergreen, 89% are on free and reduced lunch, and the board identified that as our next area to dive back into and offer an after-school program. And the response that we've received from the community is overwhelmingly positive, and they are really excited to have a place for their young people to come after school because there is nowhere else for them to go right now, and there's also no sidewalks in Evergreen, which also is a potential hazard and safety issue.
Mark, just to comment on that, too.
Well, and Mandy didn't mention it. They're in a building program right now to build a new facility in Columbia Falls. So it would be state-of-the-art. It would combine lots of different age ranges from a senior center to the kids and their ability. They are in a facility in Columbia Falls. They've outgrown it quite quickly.
Certainly.
So if somebody wants to give or somebody wants to go down that route with them, definitely contact Mandy on that. And they do have their primary fundraiser this New Year's Eve, which is their...
Well, what's that? Sounds like a party. What's going on there?
That's what we're here for.
Dueling pianos.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. New Year's Eve is going to be a bigger, better, awesome show this year and bump right up into midnight. So if you're looking for a party, not your typical ball and gala type of fundraising event. It's just a hoot and holler and great time.
Who knew Mark could play like that?
I know, right? You come for a solo.
Yeah, no, I'm not dancing or singing, unlike some of your board members.
Are you connected with other Boys and Girls Clubs across Montana?
Yes, we are. We have a coalition, and we all meet monthly to kind of swap ideas and check in and see how everybody's doing, because we definitely touch base with other clubs outside of the state. But here in the home state, we all know the struggles and the realizations of what we actually all go through. So, yeah, I've got several great relationships with the other directors.
That helps, doesn't it?
It certainly does, yeah.
Because it can be an emotional job when you're trying to help people and you don't have the resources that you always need. You go, man. Man, I don't know. How do you get past the emotion of that?
You know what? That's the thing, is that you just build that community and you can talk through it together. You know, because the job that you do, it is emotional, because you're impacting people's lives. So there's no way to distinguish the emotion from the professional side of it. But as Mark had mentioned, we are working on a brand new building that will double as a community center in Columbia Falls, and so we're working closely with another club that's just south of here that they did a really beautiful brand new building that we're gonna hopefully be kind of mirroring.
Cool.
Future.
Well, it's a really great way for Toro Apparel in the community to get involved and help kids. I mean, it makes just such an immediate difference in their lives.
Yes.
And you can't always see it, but you know it. And then down the road, a lot of people, I've talked to people who've grown up in the Boys and Girls Club, and they go, man, without that, I don't know where I'd be, or it helped me get through this part of my life. And so thank you for doing that. Thank you for being a Toro Apparel. Appreciate that.
Oh, of course. And if anybody wants more information, they can visit our website, which is bgcglacier.org. And there's all the information, from the programming that we run to expanding into Evergreen to the dueling pianos. So if you want to purchase tickets for that too, they'll go on sale in October, and you don't want to miss a spot at that.
That'll be kind of fun. So is Savannah going to be a dancer or a singer or a piano player?
Oh, you know what? She might just be the mascot of the evening with that cute face.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Thank you, guys. I appreciate
it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
We'll take a break, and we'll come on back with more Tow Rope Tour here in Kalispell, Montana at Glacier Bank. As a matter of fact, Don Cherry from Glacier Bank is going to come on here in just a bit and pat some people, I think, on the back around the community. That'd be real cool. And so we're back with more. It is from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. All right, once again, Toro Up Tour continuing. Missoula tomorrow, 9 o'clock for Paradise Falls. That'll be fun to get back in there. Thank you, Tom McLaughlin. 1 o'clock, we'll be at Out to Lunch at Karis Park. Thank you, Kristen Sackett and the Out to Lunch folks. And thank you, Don Cherry, Executive Vice President, Glacier Bancorp, for allowing us to come in here today and celebrate your community. And not only just this Kalispell, but the Flathead area. You've got Eureka, you've got branches in Libby, Whitefish, Columbia Falls, Big Fork. You know, that's a lot of opportunities for your members and to actually kind of get into their community. You guys encourage that?
Yeah, we encourage not only our staff and employees to be involved in the communities, but also the nonprofits. And as a bank, we try to be there for all the nonprofits and all our customers to help them succeed in whatever venture and thing they have going on.
Yeah, like Mark Johnson was here just a little while ago and spoke with Mandy, and they kind of got on board with the Boys and Girls Club. Pretty cool that they kind of say they meet. So everybody's community is a little bit different, and so those needs are going to be individualized, aren't they?
Exactly. And each of our employees have different interests, so you know, they tend to migrate to whichever group or nonprofit or business area that, you know, they have the most interest in, and then they are more active and involved in those areas. And it all, you know, it's a big ball that you know, helps, you know, with the community and everything overall, because you don't want to just focus on one area, one thing.
Yeah. Financial institutions are kind of the center for a lot of communities as well. How important, how do they help a community prosper? How much responsibility does a financial institution carry when you guys, for Glacier Bancorp, and you have like hundreds of locations across the West and numerous in Montana, how does the discussion turn to how do we help our community? How do we keep our community healthy? How do we make our, not only our individuals prosper, but also our community prosper?
Well, yeah, banks are critical in support of the communities and their growth and their prosperity. And it's not because we, you know, are some special business. It's because we support all the other individual businesses and people in those communities.
Yeah.
And if they prosper, we prosper. And so we're out there, you know, with all the private businesses as well as the nonprofits giving a hand, and whether it's lending or, you know, supporting through being on boards or active in their community projects and stuff like that, we'll do whatever we need to help them succeed. That helps our community succeed.
So I've got like about maybe 20 seconds or so. What is Don Cherry's sort of favorite project? If Don Cherry's a total rope hero, what does that entail?
Well, I'm actually, you know, I travel around all our banks. I love being involved in the community and things like that. I've been on the Montana Chamber Board, state organizations, and I just love being involved and being a part of all of them. So I don't really have just one favorite one, but I love being involved and out there and meeting people and connecting with all the great people in our state.
And equipping them to do
it. You bet.
Thank you, Don. Appreciate that.
You bet.
Yep, Don Cherry, who's the Executive Vice President. We will see you tomorrow in Missoula.